In the name of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good morning. Good morning. I'm sure those of you who know me probably know that this is certainly one of my favorite gospel readings. But I just want to start this first portion. It's just so interesting. Can you imagine this scene as Jesus is telling his disciples of what's going to happen to him? And of course, he must go. He must go to Jerusalem where this crucifixion is going to take place, as he foretells this to those who are closest and nearest to him. And Peter, always Peter, isn't it? He comes forward and took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you." They didn't understand. Peter didn't understand. Like everyone else, as the Jews saw Jesus moving about and doing what he was doing, he was a rebel. He was messing things up. He wasn't the first. There were others that looked a little bit like Jesus. They were stirring people up, going to mess up the whole flow when there'd become this acceptable behavior between the Romans and the Jewish people. They were sort of living together in a way that felt comfortable, but it really wasn't the fullness of what God intended, was it? No. So when Jesus came along, many people thought, it's another uprising within the Jewish sect. It's one more rebel that's going to cause all this trouble. And then suddenly Jesus was a little something else, wasn't he? He was doing things very differently. But even his own followers on this day are saying, that can't be. They can't take you away. You haven't done what you're here to do. They expected Jesus to restore them to being in control of their promised land. Even his disciples had that expectation. And Jesus rebukes him, doesn't he? He says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." There's a bigger picture Jesus is pointing to. Jesus is here to reconcile the world to God with his very body and blood, and the world wants the life that the world wants, amen? And they don't understand, and let's face it, we don't understand fully what it is God has for us yet, do we? We don't. So we try to put it off on other things. We'll say, well, if I can just be a good person and get from this birth through childhood, I can get a pass on teenage years for all the things I'll undoubtedly do there. And then as I grow into adulthood, maybe if I behave just right, I'll get to heaven. And we've made that our mantra as the church, haven't we? And Jesus is saying something else. Jesus walked this earth to bring us back to reconciliation to God so that the kingdom could become visible here, amen? But so easy to just sort of hang on to yourself and hang on to your little space and make sure you don't mess it up too bad so that you might get to heaven. And the church, brothers and sisters, got a little complacent in the kingdom work, didn't it? I mean, I'm not trying to accuse anyone. I'm the church myself. But it's just so easy to do if we don't see the fullness of it. It's so easy to do if we, like Peter, are focused on things worldly and not divine. Our life could become the most important thing to us if we don't understand the role we have that we share with the divinity of our God, of growing his kingdom, we can get lost easy. But Jesus goes on in speaking to his disciples, and he starts to talk about this bigger picture. And we get to decide is what we hear. Well, it's what I hear. Maybe you'll hear it. Then Jesus told his disciples, "If any want to become my followers, Let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. If any want to. So people will ask me all the time, do you think I should do this? I said, what do you want to do? It doesn't really matter what I think people should do. If the person themselves has not made a decision for themselves, whatever it is they do is just an action. It's not the fullness of what God intends. See, Jesus wants us to want to do these things. And as we heard in our hymn earlier, he made every effort and gave every sign that he was willing to go the extra mile to the cross. And he simply turns to us and says, well, if you want to pick up your cross and follow me, doesn't say you have to. But he starts to say more interesting things. Take up their, any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. And so often we hear that and people go, I don't think I understand what he's saying. Well, brothers and sisters, what I'd say to you is lose your life to Christ, and you will understand in an instant what he's saying. I promise you will. And it'll be far greater than anything you imagined it could be. I remember well the moment that my real life crashed in to my church life. I don't know if you've had that moment in your world. I know it was very true for me, but we get to this place where everything's going along well, and you say, okay, well, we got a family now, and let's kind of get back into the church. I don't know if that looked like that for you. Maybe some of you were better at it, and you just stayed in the church your whole life. And you get back to it, and then you realize, these are my friends, and these are my church people. Amen? Am I making sense? You hear what I'm saying? See, that's not losing your life, is it? Because you're still clinging to something here that you don't think fits over here. You start to live in two different worlds. You start saying, this is my real life, Monday through Saturday, and every other Sunday. And then this is my church life, every other Sunday, give or take. And then something will happen if you continue to lose your life for the sake of Jesus. Because there's all these people you keep seeing when you come to church, and they're always going, hey, you should come do this. Come be part of this. Come join us. And you just can't, after a while, you just can't get away from it. And they just keep drawing you in. What is wrong with these people? And you're so afraid to do it because, once you get drawn in, once you start to act like them, these other people in your life are going, we're not sure what happened to you. And you've seen it happen before. So when you leave the room, your other friends are looking at each other and going, oh my gosh, you got Jesus. This is a mess. What are we going to do? Everything's over. And then you're in this inner struggle. You're thinking, I have to give all this away, but I'm so drawn to this. And then if you just keep walking that line, and you just keep giving a little bit more of your life away, a little bit more of your life away. You deny yourself. Suddenly, you're denying your children playing soccer on Sunday morning because you want them to go to church with you. You're suddenly denying the way in which you spend your money because you want to make sure you're putting some money into the mission and the work of the church you're attending. You begin to deny yourself, and all of a sudden, this moment comes, and your life just goes bam, and slams together, and all of a sudden these people who you've known for a long time, and then these people who you've just got to know, who you were keeping separate so you could go be who you were here, and then you could go be who you wanted to be here, it comes together, and you are horrified. It's like, oh my gosh, everybody's going to know that I'm in love with Jesus. What am I going to do now? What am I going to do? Now, know if that happened in your life. That ever happened to anybody? Good. I mean, it's not just me. You remember the moment, too. If you're sitting there wondering and you're afraid of the moment, brothers and sisters, you see all the hands go up? It's okay. Look, we survived. And what a glorious moment it was. What a glorious moment it was. See, it was twofold for me. First, my wife pressing me in to go to a, I've told you this before, but it's an interesting story, so. Go to the workday at the church. And I'm like, and I literally said, those are not my people. And she, well, at some point, some of us have been married a while, just say, okay. Sometimes it's just better to just go. You got to trust that this woman who loves you so much is really telling you something that's good for you, and you go. And in the midst of the workday, I'm working with this man, and I, of course, have known him from Sunday, or every other Sunday, as necessary. And we were working on something. He's swinging a hammer, and he smashed his thumb. And he came out with a word that begins with an F. That's not fun. And I stopped for a second. I went, these are my people. he's just, that's exactly what I was thinking when he smashed his thumb. And I went, wow, maybe I'm okay here. Maybe I'm okay. And we just dug further in. And you have that moment where you think, if I dig into this, I'm going to start to lose other things. And I want to say to you, you will. You absolutely will. The things in your life that are not of God and the way in your behaving that is not in line with His will for you, He will take it away. And if you don't move gently with Him, He will move you, whether you like it or not. He did that to me one day. It was the 18th of March. How do I know? Because it was the day after St. Patrick's Day, and we were working on the church. You may be aware my name is O'Carroll. So St. Patrick's Day used to have a little different feel for me back then than it does now. And having celebrated vigorously St. Patrick's Day the night before, I drug myself to the church the next day and was helping to paint the choir room. And in the midst of that, my lovely wife comes by to check on us, and I was doing a good job of faking it. I was a good church boy. I'm in there with the other guys, and we're painting the choir room, and she comes in front of half a dozen guys and myself, and she's a distance where everyone could hear. She goes, how's your hangover? And I went, fully exposed. And you know, they smiled, and they nodded, and they never said a word. They never judged me. They were right there with me, and they loved me, and my worlds collided, and I survived. And then my life began to grow in ways I didn't believe possible. I lost my life. Instead of trying to hold on to this worldly understanding of life, I began to release my life to Jesus so that I can discover the life that was intended for me when I was knit together in my mother's womb. Amen? That life, this life, is so much better and so much greater than any plans I have ever made in my entire 53 years of life. But you know, you got to get to that moment where you know it's your choice and hear the words that Jesus says. Then Jesus told his disciples, and Jesus still tells each of us this day, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. But we like to mix it up a little bit and water it down. So we'll say, oh, you know, I got this bad leg. It's just my cross to bear. Please. That is not what Jesus is talking about. Oh, you know, my back is bad. It's just my cross to bear. No, there is only one cross to bear, and it's the cross of Jesus Christ. And the message of the cross of Jesus Christ is salvation. Amen? And that is the cross we all bear. The cross of discipleship is the cross he's speaking of. It's not some malady or illness, something that had happened in your life. Those things happen. The cross we bear is the cross of knowing the truth of Jesus Christ and being willing to give up ourselves to the level of telling others that it's available to them. That is the cross that we are called to bear. And you might have a bad leg when you're doing it. It's kind of how it works. You may have a history that other people will look at you and think, you can't be holy. Well, look, you can't be. But Christ can make you that way with his very body and blood, which he has already done, by the way. So it is our cross to bear with him. Even in our own 79 prayer book, we can see that back at the point that book was being created for us and the right to service came into play, the one we're using today, there was a recognition that the church had maybe gotten a little complacent. See, because we hear here in this scripture, we get down to verse 27, for the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. So 1979, the prayer book that would normally be in your pew, maybe you at home have it. We have this wonderful thing called our confession, which we'll do here in a bit. And I always hear it as a reminder that the church had been complacent, because it isn't just the things that were done, but the things we have left undone. Why do you think that was put into your confession? Because it needed to be. What are the things left undone, brothers and sisters? It is primarily one thing. The one thing that is often left undone is the church forgets to pick up the cross and bear it for Christ. We forget, don't we? Well, it's scary. I know it is. And it's hard. But he strengthens us for it. We hear it in the hymn. Don't follow me, I'll be back with the camera, don't panic. We were just laughing about how I walk out of the scene of the camera on them. In this hymn that we sang, well, that you all heard, we will sing again, I promise. The final verse, hymn 675. Take up your cross and follow Christ. Not think till death to lay it down. For only those who bear the cross may hope to wear the glorious crown. It's not something we do on occasion. It is something we do with our entire lives. And it is something we do when we come to a place of surrendering our whole life to Jesus. Amen? That's what he's talking about today. But like Peter, when we hear those hard things, our vision is streamlined to the life we know and understand. You cannot mess this up, God. It's finally good. And I hope he just laughs at us and says, you don't even know what good can be. The only good you have is the good you've created, and he is offering us the good that he has for us. The question we have to ask ourselves today is, do we want it? Do we want the life that God has intended for us? And if we do, pick up the cross. Amen.